Blog Talk Radio.
Man lose everything he owns, has he truly lost his worth, or is it the beginning of a new and brighter birth? So how do you measure the worth of a man in wealth or strength or size, in how much he gains or how much he gains? The answer will come to him who tries to look at his life through heaven's eyes. And that's why we share all we have with you, though there's little to be found. When all you've got is nothing, there's a lot to go around. No light can escape being blown about by the winds of change and chance. And no, you never know all the steps. You must learn to join the dance. You must learn to join the dance.
Alrighty, looking at our life through heaven's eyes. And here we are again, another Sunday in the new year of 2015. We've been in the year of 5775 since back in September, so this is yet another new year, and we have a third new year coming up, the Chinese New Year, around January 20th, I believe. And I think this year for them is going to be the year of the year of the goat or the year of the sheep, something like that. And I'm not sure what the number of it is, but anyway. All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to the show. Start off with a little prayer and clear our space. In Yahshua's name, we do not come to give thanks for this day. Father God Almighty, we pray that you would always be with us. Guard us, guide us, direct us, and protect us with your Holy Spirit and your angels. We pray that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that this is the only true and genuine solution for the things that are going on. through the centuries, there have been many, many, many forms of government tried ever since the rebellion in the garden. You have given Satan the opportunity to prove what kind of a ruler he would be, because he did not challenge your power. He only challenged your sovereignty. He challenged your right to rule. He wasn't foolish enough to challenge your power. So we pray that you would bring this to an end, to exercise your power, because he has had 5,775 years to prove that he is not a fit ruler. He has not been successful in bringing the vision that you had for this planet of people being in perfection, living in perfection, and that there would be the fruits of the Spirit abounding, that of love and joy and peace, kindness, goodness, faith, mildness, self-control. And the things are not good, as you know, Father. I'm sure they were much worse in the days before the flood of Noah, but they're getting that way again. And we pray that you would intervene in a much speedier fashion than is occurring. We know that the Bible codes were discovered. Mr. Braden brings that out in the book, The Isaiah Effect, and that how across the catastrophic prophecies that are contained in your book, that there are four words, will you change it? And we have the opportunity to change the outcome through prayer. We have the opportunity to not have to go through the catastrophic things. We have an opportunity to switch the timelines, if you will, to step into some of the parallel running universes so that we don't have to have bloodshed that runs as high as the horse's bridle. We pray that there would be a much more peaceful resolution as opposed to a bloody revolution. And we pray that your peace would come in, your angels would work overtime if necessary to bring about this change, to bring about the resolution, to bring people's hearts and minds back to you, to worship you in trueness. We pray that there is peace as a dove, that your peace abounds. We don't pray for peace. There is a whole entire section on that. But we pray peace. We feel it. We sense it. We experience it. And we allow peace to reign within our hearts, within our minds, with our feelings, emotions, souls, and within the space that we hold, that peace is around us. And we expand it to our houses, our neighborhoods, our towns, our counties, our states, our countries, the hemispheres, north and south. We pray peace upon this planet. We pray that your hand would come swiftly to help bring it about. We also pray that you would open the minds and hearts, take off the blinders off the minds of the unbelievers, that they might truly see what is at stake, and they might see the difference in your rule versus the rule of the false god that has been ongoing for centuries. We pray all this in Yahushua's name. So be it, and amen. Alrighty, starting in Psalms, the praiseworthy stuff in Psalms 147, it brings, that's talking about Jerusalem being restored. 48, it goes on that all creation praises God. Praise Yah, you people. Praise Yahweh from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all you his angels. Praise him, all you his army. Praise him, you sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of the heavens, and you waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for he himself commanded, and they were created, and he keeps them standing forever to time indefinite. A regulation he has given, and it will not pass away. Praise Yahweh from the earth, you sea monsters and all you watery deeps, you fire and hail, snow and thick smoke, you tempestuous wind, accomplishing his word, you mountains and all you hills, you fruit trees and all you cedars, you wild animals and all you domestic animals, you creeping things and winged birds, you kings of the earth and all you national groups, you princes and all you judges of the earth, you young men and also you virgins, you old men together with boys, let them praise the name of Yahweh, for his name alone is unreachably high, and his dignity is above earth and heaven. And he will exalt the horn of his people, the praise of all his loyal ones, of the sons of Israel, the people near to him. Praise Yah, you people. Alrighty, and working forward more in Joel Osteen's book, Breakout. We are going through chapter 23 today, or at least hoping we're going to get through most of 23 today. Last week we talked about developing your pearl, and this week we are into get. Sometimes those things happen, and instead of being able to forgive them, they get stuck in us, with us. Things get stuck, and we have a hard time trying to move forward. So Joel's going to give us some insight on how, hopefully how, we can. Oops, and speaking of stuck, there we go. That's in my non-wireless devices there, get stuck for a moment. All right. That we're going to see how Joel can help us get over it. Too many people go through life thinking somebody owes them something. If they did not have a perfect childhood, they're angry at their parents. If they were laid off after many years with the company, they're upset with their bosses. Or maybe they came down with an illness, life threw them a curveball. Now they have a chip on their shoulder and bitterness on the inside. They ask, if God was so good, how could he let this happen to me? I go, yeah, let's go back and look and reread Job, the Bible book of Job. Job was an awesome guy, and he could have done the same things and said, how could God have let this happen to me? How could have God done this to me? Well, there was a whole reason and purpose behind there, because it was to bring out the tested quality of our faith. Anyway, God never promised life would be fair. Beg your pardon, God never promised us a rose garden. Although we do have thorns in a rose garden. But God did promise that if we stay in faith, God would take what is meant for our harm and would use it to our advantage. Nothing that happens to us is a surprise to God. The people who raised us might not have given us everything we needed. It might not have been fair, but that did not catch God off guard. Don't think you were cheated and use it as an excuse to be bitter. If you get over it, God will still get you to where you're supposed to be. The person who did you wrong in a relationship, the betrayal, the divorce, might have caused you pain. But if you get over it, quit reliving all the hurt. Quit living in all the hurt. Quit making that your now moment. Move forward. Step out of it. Then you get to come to the new beginning God has in store. Joel's message is very simple. He offers it with respect. Get over whatever wrongs have been done to you. Because the scripture talks about, you know, forgiving people of, you know, we want to be given, forgiven of our sins and trespasses. Even as, you know, we say, we forgive us of our sins and trespasses, even as we have forgiven those who trespass against us or who sin against us. So if we expect God to extend us forgiveness, we also need to be extending others for, you know, forgiveness there. There was the parable of the man that owed his master, I think it was something like 60,000 denarii, which in a denarii was a day's wage. And the man went and begged the master. He says, I don't have the money to pay you. Please, you know, please forgive me. Please give me time to, you know, to work this off. Well, said the master, forgave him all of it. And then the same slave went out, and he found another fellow slave, and this guy only owed him 100 denarii, 100 day's wages. And his fellow slave said, oh, please, grant me mercy, grant me mercy. You know, I'll get it set right. I'll get you paid back. And the first slave, who had just been forgiven this 60,000 denarii debt, hardened his heart. And he said, no. And he called the jailers, and the slave who owed him 100 denarii was thrown in the debtor's prison. Well, other slaves took this to the master and said, master, you know, you just forgave this guy, you know, 60,000 denarii. And he turned around and he had this guy who only owed him 100 thrown into the debtor's prison. Well, then the master got angry. And he said, okay, I forgave you. You know, he called him the worthless slave and some other things. And he said, you know, I forgave you all this. And it's like, and you could not forgive this other person, this little bit that they owed you. So he said, fine, you go join him in debtor's prison. So it's really important to forgive, to be able to search within ourselves. And it's brought out that forgiveness is such an interesting thing for us, because to forgive does not mean that it's okay what that other person did to you. It means that you turn it over to God and let God deal with whatever wrongs were done. So we turn that over to Him. It simply means, forgiveness means that we are not going to allow someone else, what someone else's actions have done to us, to continue to injure us in a negative way, because it only injures us. When we harbor negative thoughts, it doesn't hurt that other person. It hurts us. It affects us. It affects our health and our mind. It doesn't affect them in the least. They just, you know, they're on their merry way. So you forgive it out of yourself. So you go, you know what? I refuse to allow, I've heard it said, people to rent space, you know, or have space in your head rent-free. So when you go through and you say, wow, you know, somebody's really taken up a lot of space. You know, if you look at your head, you know, your brain as a house, and say, you know, there are some things in there that are occupying space. They're not paying rent. So I'm going to kick them out, just like, you know, a landlord would kick out a renter who is not paying anything. So don't let people live in your head for rent-free. Don't let them occupy the space that needs to belong to God or other things that are loving in your life. Focus on what is good and right and loving in your life. That's my message. So let's see how Joel phrases it. So his message is simple. He offers it with respect. Get over what's been done to you. Maybe we're, you know, you're single and all your friends are married. So, like, get over it. Don't let bitter feelings take root. That attitude will only keep the right person from entering your life. Now, cast your bread upon the waters, and in many days it returns to you. So if you're putting forth bitterness, what are you going to get back? If you're putting forth this poor little me bit, what are you going to get back? So you put forth, he said, have the faith and behave as though it has already been done the way you're praying. It's like he told his apostles that. So, you know, that's absolutely right. You know, a bad attitude only keeps the correct things and the correct people or situations from entering into your life. Maybe you wish you'd been born into a different family or different country. Get over it. God knows what he's doing. God was not having a bad day when he created you. You're not at a disadvantage. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And sometimes God gives us lessons in life that we need to learn, just like passing a grade, you know, kindergarten through 12th, or, you know, your freshman, sophomore, junior, senior years of college, or your master's degree or PhD. It's like, you know, we're in different grade levels. So God gives us what we can handle. He never gives us more than what we can handle. He gives us things in our life to handle. It says, with prayer and supplication, we have the way out. It's absolutely true. So Joel sort of said, you can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you cannot be both. Instead of sitting around thinking about all the reasons you have to feel sorry for yourself, take the hand you've been dealt, take the hand you've been dealt, and make the most of it. See if you're a good poker player. See if you can bluff it. Win the pot. Anyway, nothing that you have been through has to keep you from becoming all that God has created you to be. Joel's mother had polio as a child. She had to wear a brace on her leg. Now, one of her legs is much smaller than the other. When she buys shoes, she has to buy two pairs of the same shoe because her feet are different sizes. That could have embarrassed her. She could have shrunk back and tried to hide it, but she never did. My mother knows she was made in the image of Almighty God. Growing up, she never worried about wearing a dress. In fact, she still wears dresses today. At nearly 80 years old, she's still showing off her legs. She never let her leg keep her from working out in the yard. Her experience with polio did not stop her from praying in behalf of others in need of healing. Despite the disadvantage, his mother's lived a full and blessed life. Why? She got over it. She did not make excuses. She didn't fall into the self-pity trap, poor little me. Sometimes we're tempted to think, if I just had a different life, I'd be better off. If I had his talent or her talent or his family or their house or their things, life would be great. But don't compare your situation to anyone else's. You're not running their race. You're here to run your own. It may seem like others have more advantages or more going for them, but God has given you the grace you need to fulfill your destiny. You're not anointed to be that other person. You're anointed to be you. Make the most of you. Be the best you can be. Shake off self-pity and bitterness. Your attitude needs to be, nobody owes me anything. I'm not at a disadvantage. I did not get left out. I did not get shortchanged. I did not get passed over or cheated. I am equipped. I am empowered. I am anointed. All the forces of darkness cannot keep me. God has for me. God says he holds us in his hand, and no one can take us out of the Father's hand. Our time is valuable. Our assignment is too important. Our time is too valuable, and our assignment is too important to go through life thinking about what we didn't get, or who hurt us, or what didn't work out. That's a trick of the enemy to get you distracted and wasting valuable energy on things that do not matter. Satan would love to keep you discouraged. He'd love to keep you in self-pity and blaming others and blaming yourself and even blaming God. That's a real cute analogy. If somebody, you know, or something, if you're walking through a parking lot and you trip, or, you know, somebody accidentally trips you, or, you know, there's a pothole you didn't see and you stumble and you fall down, the question is, do you lay in the parking lot and just lay there and let the cars all drive around you and just, you know, wait for somebody to come put flowers on your chest? Or do you kind of roll around and you try to help yourself up? And, you know, when you're trying to help yourself up, other people are going to come and say, hey, are you okay? Help you dust off. But, you know, even if nobody saw you fall, the question is, do you lay there? Well, okay, somebody might be going, yeah, if I hit my head and I'm unconscious, it's like, well, yeah. You know, but if you just fall down, you skinned your knees, you know, do you lay there in self-pity, or do you get up and go, wow, I'm never going to step in that hole again, or I'm going to be aware of that. You know, do you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep on moving forward? You go to your car, you drive home, you know, you doctor yourself, you know, doctor your knees, give you, you know, attention to the skin knees that you need to, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's like, you don't let skins and bumps and bruises, like children, you know, when they're riding their bicycles, they don't let that, you know, prevent them from riding their bicycles. They, you know, they fall a lot of times and they keep getting up and they keep going forward. So that's kind of what we have to do too. All right. Well, Joel is asking us to get over anything holding us back, a bad attitude, an offense, what somebody did to you, a mistake you made. Don't be pitiful when you can be powerful. The creator of the universe breathed his life into us. Every day of our life has been written in God's book. The good news is that our book ends in victory. We all go through tough times, but we're not supposed to stay there. Keep turning the page, and we come to another victory. We come to another page. We come to the end of the chapter. God knew there'd be unfair situations in your life. That's why he's arranged to come back for every setback, a vindication for every wrong, a new beginning for every disappointment. Again, I say, look at Job. Gave Job twice as much as what he went through. Don't let one bad break, a divorce, or a rough childhood cause you to be sour on life. If your boss did not give you the promotion, get over it. God has something better in store. If certain friends, quote friends, leave you out, don't give you their approval, get over it. Get some new friends. You don't need their approval. Don't play up to people or try to win them over. You have Almighty God's approval. That's what matters. Pray that God brings you people who love you as you are and who are truly supportive and good friends. And, you know, Dale Carnegie also taught us, you know, to have a friend, you need to be a friend. All right, well, maybe our business didn't make it. We had a setback. Now you think, what did I do wrong? I blew it. This is the end. No, get over it. Don't condemn yourself. Don't lay there on the road. You're not a failure. You took a step of faith and a door closed. That just means you're one step closer to an open door. Like Thomas Edison, who found 1,000 ways a light bulb would not work, but the 1,001st way, he found a way that a light bulb would work. Whoopsie. Hang on. Okay, sorry about that. Noises in the background. Always pleasant to have in the morning. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, if one door closes, another door opens. When you're knocked down, don't stay down. Get back up again. Nothing good will happen as long as you're down on yourself, down on life, focused on your mistakes and disadvantages, or things that you perceive are disadvantages or perceive as your mistakes. That attitude will keep you from the amazing future God has in store. You may be dealing with a sickness, and our heart goes out to you. We'll stand in faith with you, but don't you dare sit around nursing your wounds, thinking, poor old me, I guess my life is over, I've got this advantage. Nope, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and go, okay, that was a bit of a roadblock, And there's a way around it. Instead, fight the good fight of faith. God did not bring you this far to leave you. When the going gets tough, the tough have to get going. Get over the disappointment. Get over the self-pity. Get over the doubt. Realize that those footprints in the sand at your lowest times in life, sometimes we get carried over it just because we're not able to do it by ourselves, but we have that prayer, we have that faith, and sometimes we are picked up and we are carried through things, and we look back and go, how in the world did I get through that? You know, it's like that's when you go, ah, that one set of footprints in the sand because I was being carried. Well, we've been armed with strength for this battle. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Nothing can snatch you out of God's hand. The enemy does not have the final say. God has the final say. And he says the number of our days he will fulfill. Keep turning that page. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep staying in faith. Keep being your best. Keep being good to other people. You will come to another chapter, another victory. Think about, he finally gets around to Job. Think about the story of Job. He had a lot to get over. Lost his health, his family, his business. If anybody had a right, at least in the natural, to have a chip on their shoulder to be angry and bitter, it would have been Job. He was a good man. He loved God. He was being his best, sacrificed every day, yet his life was turned upside down. The scripture says, rain falls on the just and the unjust. I'd love to tell you that if you have faith and you love God, you'll never have any difficulties, but that's not reality. That is not true. But what Joel does tell us is when the storms come, if we've got our house built upon the rock, if we've got an unshakable confidence in God, then God as our shepherd, the storms are going to come. But it'll beat against the house and it will not fall. We will not be defeated. When it's all said and done, you may go through the fire, through the flood, through the famine, but you're going to come out standing strong. Don't be discouraged by the storm. Don't fall into self-pity. I don't know what I did wrong. Well, you may not have done anything wrong. Job didn't do anything wrong. Maybe it's because you're doing something right. You may be taking new ground for the kingdom. You may be setting a new standard for your family. The enemy does not roll out the red carpet to allow you to fulfill your destiny. He brings stuff against you. Know this. The forces for you are greater than the forces against you. Job could have given up in life, blamed God, and thought, just my luck, I do my best, look what happens to me. Instead, right in the middle of his challenges, when he could have been bitter and sour, he looked up to the heavens and said, though he slay me, I will trust him. Though God slay me, I will trust God. Job was in effect saying, no matter what comes my way, I'm not getting bitter, angry, offended, or carrying a chip on my shoulder. My situation may not be fair, but I know a secret. God is still on the throne. He will make my wrongs right. I may not like it, but I'm going to get over it and keep moving forward. 9 months later, Job came out. 9 months. He went through that 9 months he sat around. Pretty miserable. Job came out with twice what he had before. When you get over it, you position yourself for double. When you forgive someone who did you wrong, get ready for double the blessings. When you have a good attitude, even though life has thrown you a curve, get ready for double blessings. We've talked about, you know, don't roll out a dump truck backing up into your driveway. Get ready for double or more. Okay, 90 seconds in. I'm going to continue this. We've got just a little bit more here in chapter 23, so we'll get through with this here. Okay, so when you go through life doing your best, you know, get ready for double. Your thoughts may tell you you're not as talented, as influential, or as advantaged as others, but you know better than to believe in the lies or believe in the natural, because God does supernatural things. Instead of becoming depressed, shake it off, knowing that you have been made in the image of Almighty God. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. You do not let what people say or tough circumstances pull you down. No matter what comes your way, you get over it and keep moving forward. When you do that, you better get ready. God says to you what he says to Job, double is coming your way. Double the joy, double the peace, double the favor. Is there something you need to get over today? Do you need to get over a friend's betrayal? Do you need to get over a business deal that did not work out? Do you need to get over a childhood that was not so great? Unless you get over, they will keep you from the fullness God has in store. The key to earning the double is to not get bitter. Don't have a chip on your shoulder or feel you are owed something. Don't make excuses or live in a sour mood. Many people blame their past for their bitterness or lack of success. They blame the way they were raised, what they were not given, or who was not around. God is not surprised by what was lacking or hurtful in your past. Don't use those things as an excuse to go through life feeling shortchanged. Move forward. Keep moving forward. This is a new day. God knew who your parents would be. He knew what kind of environment you'd be raised in. Now, we're not making light of hardships and hurts. Some people grew up in very unfair and difficult situations. They did not get the love, the approval, or support they should have had. But Joel does not believe in giving people the right to feel sorry for ourselves, because we always have options. We have an option to learn what's right and to say, you know what, today is the first day of the rest of my life. Not that you're going to take, you know, the eraser and erase everything off the board, because there's nuggets of value. There's gold nuggets that you've had, even if it came in a really hurtful way. You go, you know, sometimes it's like, well, I never want to repeat that again. So it's like, okay, so I see that that was there, and I'm going to keep moving forward, and we're moving forward to something different. Because when you feel sorry for yourself, it keeps you from the amazing future God has in store. It may not have been fair, but if you have the right attitude, instead of being a setback, it'll be a set up for God to do something great in your life. Now, Joel knows people in their 50s who still talk about what mama didn't give them. Have you ever thought that maybe mama didn't have it to give? Maybe your father did the best he could with what he has or what he had. Sometimes we rely too much on people when we need to be relying on God. Psalm 27:10 says, God adopts us as his very own children. Your mother or father may not have given you what you needed, but if you start looking to God, he will make up for everything you lacked. Joel has heard it said, if you want someone to give you 100%, don't look around, look up. God is the only one who can give you everything you need. Some people were never taught to show love or to express approval. They had no role models for that. They passed down what they've experienced. If you look only to other people, you'll be disappointed. They will let you down because none of us are perfect. If you're not careful, you'll become bitter and resentful towards other humans. You may think, you owe me. Why won't you give it to me? What's wrong with you? But maybe God is teaching you not to rely on people, but to rely on him, to rely on God. Let people off the hook, because none of us are perfect. You know, if we, the parable about the straw and the log, you know, quit trying to remove the straw out of your brother's eye when you have a rafter in your own. Okay, so yeah, let's pick the own, but let's look in the mirror and take care of ourselves before we start trying to judge others. And, you know, it says, judge not lest you be judged, because with the measure that you're measuring out, it's going to be measured out to you. So we're supposed to be here to love everybody. We're supposed to be here to learn the lesson of love and try to emulate what Christ did toward everyone. Now, it's true, you know, a lot of people, especially the religious leaders, did not love him. But the common people did, because he offered them, you know, that he showed them what love was like. Now, the religious leaders, they were in power. They were afraid to lose their power, and they didn't want to give that up. But there's the ultimate power is love. And when we give that over and say, you know what, you know, hate doesn't work, control doesn't work, all these things, they don't work. What works is the power of love, the power of freedom, the power to make right choices. Okay, so, yeah. No one has 100%. So, you know, God is teaching us not to rely on other people, but to rely on God and let other people off the hook because we're not perfect. Quit trying to make another person be everything to you, because they can't be. That's what God is. God is everything to us. No one has 100%. No one can meet all your needs. It doesn't matter how good that person may be or how loving or how kind. At some point, that person is going to fall short. Look up to your Heavenly Father instead and say, God, I know you give me everything I need. And there's a difference between need and wants. That's another discussion. Well, my father told me when he was in his late 40s, he started thinking about how rough his childhood had been. His family was very poor. At times, they barely had food to survive. He went around with old, raggedy clothes with holes in them. One day, it hit him as being so unfair. He became aggravated at his parents. He thought, why didn't they raise me better? Why wasn't my father around to give me the support and encouragement that I needed? Well, when you open that door to self-pity, the enemy is going to be right there to add to it and say, well, you're right. They did you wrong. You got cheated. You should have a chip on your shoulder. You need to go straighten them out. So my father was about to drive from Houston to Dallas to tell his parents they did not do a good job of raising him, and they put him at a disadvantage, which just wasn't fair. Before he left, God spoke to him, not out loud, of course, but in his heart. He had a conversation with God along these lines. Son, they did you wrong, didn't they? Yeah, God, they did, Daddy said. They didn't give you what you needed, did they? No, God, they didn't. It wasn't fair, was it? No, it wasn't fair. Son, how would you have done if you had been in their shoes with no money, with no air conditioning, no dishwasher, no washing machine? Your mother was working 12 hours a day, making 10 cents an hour. Your father had a fourth grade education and lost everything on the farm during the Great Depression. He had to stand in line for food. God said, son, do you think you may have made a few mistakes? When my father saw it from that perspective, he realized his parents had done an amazing job considering the circumstances they had. It's easy to dwell on what we did not get and where our parents made mistakes or how they should have done better. But most of the time, if we put ourselves in their shoes, we'll find out they did the best they could with what they had. Why don't you let those who hurt you off the hook? Quit expecting them to be perfect. Look to God to give you what people cannot give you. Otherwise, you're going to get bitter. And when you get bitter, it poisons every area of your life. Hebrews 12 talks about a root of bitterness. Now, Joel's learned that a bitter root always produces bitter fruits. Do not have good relationships. They're too negative. When we are bitter, it affects our attitudes. We see everything through a critical lens. Nothing is ever good enough. Bitter people can smile on the outside, but on the inside, they're thinking, I don't like you. Why did you show up here? Bitterness taints, which is actually a lie. They're being friendly to your face and thinking in their heart that it's like, and it, or if it's us that's doing that, that's a lie. We're actually putting on a liar's face. And who else does that? We don't want to be like that other guy, the liar, okay? Bitterness taints everything about them. It affects everything we do. It follows us everywhere we go. There was a grandfather whose grandkids decided to play a trick on him during his regular afternoon nap. They put some potent, awful-smelling cheese and rubbed it on his mustache while he was sound asleep on the couch. Within a couple of minutes, his nose began to twitch. He quickly woke up and said, boy, it stinks in this room. He left the family room to escape the smell, but it was in the kitchen, too. He took a sniff here and a sniff there. It stinks in this room, too, he said. Frustrated, he went outside to get a breath of fresh air. He took a deep breath, shook his head, and said, man, the whole world stinks. If the whole world stinks for you, might I suggest you look inside, or at least in your mustache, and see if there's some cheese there. If what you're inhaling is a bitter smell, maybe there are some adjustments you need to make. So obviously at some point he went and cleaned his mustache and went, wow, the world smells better again. That's the straw in the eye there. Okay, so bitterness will follow you wherever you go if you've got bitter-smelling cheese in your mustache. A man I know has been out of shape because he felt his former employer mistreated him. Overall, this boss had been very good to him, loving and kind, but the man felt a few bad things had been done to him here and there. He could have overlooked it and focused on the good, but he made the mistake of letting the bitterness take root. More than 20 years later, the bitter fruit from those roots of resentment is obvious. He's negative, always finding fault. He has a chip on his shoulder. When we hold on to things we should let go of, refusing to forgive, remembering the worst, we only poison our own lives. God is saying, get over it. Life is flying by. You don't have time to waste another minute being negative, offended, or bitter. If someone did you wrong, get over it, and God will make it up to you. If you had a bad break that left you at a disadvantage, get over it. God is still on the throne. Joel's friend Nick, I'm not going to murder this name, is V-U-J-I-C-I-C, Vujicic, whatever, was born with no arms and no legs. Now, he could have literally sat around saying, God's not fair, God's not fair, I have no reason to live, I have no future in front of me. Nope, Nick has the cards he was dealt, and he's making the most of it. Today, he's a minister who travels the world challenging people not to let any disadvantage hold them back. New arms and new legs, and he's traveling. This is good. Are you making excuses for why you cannot succeed or be happy? Do you feel you cannot forgive someone who hurt you badly? You are responsible for your happiness. You need to forgive those who hurt you, not for their sakes, but for your own. Forgive so you can be free. I've had some rough times. I've had a bad break in my business. Get over it. You would not be alive unless God had another victory in front of you. Nothing in life has happened to you. It's happened for you. Every disappointment, every wrong, even every closed door has helped make you into who you are. We are not defined by our past. We are prepared by our past. We may have encountered some great obstacles, but only because God has a great future in front of us. If we get over what we think is a disadvantage, God will take what looks like a liability and turn it into an asset. It may not be something physical, but maybe with your childhood or past. Someone did you wrong, you made a mistake, or something bad happened to you. If only I hadn't had that accident, then I could fulfill my dreams. If only I hadn't been through that divorce, I could fulfill my dreams. If only I hadn't gotten laid off, I could fulfill my dreams. Those if-only thoughts can keep you from fulfilling your destiny. Nick Vujicic could be saying, if only I'd had arms and legs, then I could make something of my life. My mother could say, if only I had not had polio. My father could have said, if only if I was raised in a better environment. David could have said, if only Goliath wasn't so big. Gideon could have said, if only I came from a better family. Joseph could have said, if only my brothers hadn't sold me into slavery. Everyone had challenges, but you can't if only your way through life. What happened to you may seem like a disadvantage in your eyes, but it is not a disadvantage in God's eyes. It is not keeping you from your destiny. It will thrust you into your destiny. Now you have to do your part and get over anything that's holding you back. Get over what anyone said about you. No one else can determine your destiny. Only God does that. And, of course, yes, we do to some extent, because if you sit around and shoot yourself in the foot and then say, you know, I mean, even then, God can say, well, I can heal every, you know, I can heal you every time you shoot yourself in your foot. But, you know, can you just quit doing that? Can you just quit hurting yourself? Can you just quit, you know, making it hard on yourself? Get over those things that have not worked out as you had hoped. Get over the mistakes you've made. Get over the disappointments. Something may have surprised you and set you back, but it's not a surprise to God. He has already arranged the comeback. Your attitude needs to be, nobody owes me anything. I'm not going to go through life with a chip on my shoulder. I'm going to let go of those things that did not work out. I'm going to forgive those who did me wrong, and I'm going to forgive myself for the mistakes I made. I'm pulling up the roots of bitterness. I'm moving forward into the amazing future God has in store. If we learn this simple principle to get over it, then Joel believes and declares, no disappointment, no bad break, no injustice is going to keep us from our destiny, from the good things God has in store for us. God will take what's meant for our harm and use it to our advantage. Like Job, you will not only come out of the difficult times, you'll come out better, stronger, and increased with twice the joy, twice the peace, and twice the victory. All righty. Here. Get back to the studio. Okay. And, yep, they're about to log me out. So, anyway, we finished Chapter 23, Yeehaw. Next week, we'll do installment of Chapter 24, which is, let's see here, let's see if I can figure out what Chapter 24 is. I shouldn't shut that book so much. Is Put Actions Behind Our Faith. So this is getting over, this week is about, you know, getting over things that might hold us back, including our own bad attitudes about, you know, whatever it is. Because, you know, sometimes we all have those, we all go through those experiences, and they're learning times, they're testing times. It's an opportunity to go, am I going to keep moving forward, or am I going to, you know, fall down in the parking lot and just kind of lay there and wallow for a while? Or am I going to pick myself up, dust myself off, go home, you know, treat the energy, treat the injuries, there we go. You know, nothing says you don't need some time to heal, because, you know, sometimes things happen, you need a little bit of time to heal, but you're sour or bitter. keep moving forward. And let's see, what did I say? I just said the name of that. Putting actions next week is chapter 24, putting actions behind your faith. So we'll check that out, and we'll see you again. May God bless and keep you. May the sun shine upon your face.